Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
I screwed up the music. That's okay. Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I appreciate you being here on this Sunday night. Terrible day of football. We're not going to talk about that because the Saints, man. You can't win every game in the NFL, or at least it doesn't happen very often. I understand that. But when you repeatedly shoot yourself in the foot on the way to your first loss, it is more frustrating than usual. But we're talking about Ole Miss football. Ole Miss completes non-conference play with a dominating win over Georgia Southern. Got in about 1 a.m. This morning, roughly. So we are doubling up on this podcast. So we're going to do a game recap and then the weekend recap and, of course, get to your comments as well. So I'll talk about the game and then kind of switch over into what will be a lot different conversation about this team moving forward. The competition level dramatically increases starting on Saturday. And yet Ole Miss is still a three-score favorite in this game, but you guys know as good as I do. Kentucky has players, especially on the defensive front, but Kentucky has players all over the field that Ole Miss has not seen so far this season. Now, this group of Ole Miss players has seen a lot of football against better teams than Kentucky, but you get the point. The price of poker is now officially going up for Ole Miss. Non-conference play is over, and now it gets quote-unquote real for Ole Miss. So again, welcome in. Please follow me on social media, wherever, whatever one you use. B-O-R-K-E-Y is how you spell the last name. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, Apple, Spotify, wherever. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And if you're watching, don't forget to like the video, leave a comment as well. I see those too. So glad you guys are here. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries sometimes in life are just unavoidable. We hope it never happens to you. I hope you never have to use the services of DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, but that day very well could come. And if you have been personally injured, or you have a small business in which you need some legal advice or a contract dispute situation, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi. Personal injury, small business, contract disputes. Here's the number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm bringing you the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss gets a 52-13 win over Georgia Southern. And you know what's kind of funny? I feel like part of me is being a little too hard on this team at this point. Because I'm saying this a couple weeks in a row now. But Ole Miss, I think, in fairness, we talked about it going into the game, and I think that this is true. That was not Ole Miss at their best. And understandably so. Lane Kiffin talked today in their media op about injuries on the offensive line, missing some interior guys, missing a couple on the defensive line. You had guys get banged up throughout the course of the game. Georgia Southern recovered an onside kick, which I did not, from my vantage point, think that it was overturn worthy. But you guys that actually had the TV probably saw it better. It was a game where I thought that Ole Miss looked like a team that was understanding, okay, like I'm in complete control here. I'm not losing this game. SEC play starts next week. I kind of felt that energy from this Ole Miss team that that was not them at their very best, which is totally fine. You're not going to get a team at their very best every single week. And they still won 52-13. And, I feel like I'm kind of picking on this team a little bit, but that was kind of my takeaway, was it looked and felt like a team that was ready to actually you know, have a game in which they need to give maximum effort and execute to have a chance to win, as opposed to, you know, just it's Georgia Southern, roll out, win the game, and move on. Jackson Dart was good yet again because Jackson Dart is just simply good. He was 22 of 31, 382, four touchdowns. Did have a really bad interception. He had a funny, to me, quote about that interception in the post game. I'm surprised some little dork media guy didn't get all bent out of shape about what he said. National guy, none of the local people obviously cared about it, but I'm surprised that didn't get picked up. And anyway, but he was really good. Left a couple of things on the field, but that's okay. That happens. Trey Harris is not human. On a night where early on, you know, it looked like he missed an assignment. At one point, it looked like Kiffin was really mad at him for, I think, not getting his head around fast enough and missed what would have been a first down. Also had a drop, but it looked like that ball was kind of tipped a little bit. And then that sideline one-handed catch that he usually catches. In the moment, I thought, this isn't his best night, because usually he looks inhuman. And then, sure enough, that was a dumb thing to think and put on Twitter, because Trey Harris is not a human being at all. 225 receiving yards on 11 catches and a pair of touchdowns. Juice Wells had 66 and a touchdown as well on three catches. Jordan Watkins had 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Caden Lee had just one catch, but a long one. Daquan Wright miraculously recovered from his torn ACL to have a catch and played a lot in the ball game as well. Prescorn was little used in this one, and I don't think it's anything other than just that they didn't have to, so they didn't. He will be a big part of the offense, especially when defenses get better. You know Lane Kiffin and you know Charlie Weiss Jr., and they will exploit the tight end in due time. It's just when Trey Harris is beating everybody over the top, you know, it's just easier that way to do offense. Ole Miss ran the football pretty well again as well. Early, kind of not as good as the stats indicate, but still ran the ball well. Henry Parrish had 90 yards on 13 carries, which is 7 yards per carry. Matt Jones, 4.5 yards per carry for Matt Jones. 219 for Ole Miss on the ground against Georgia Southern, and just over six yards per carry. Held Georgia Southern to 38 yards on 37 rushing attempts, so a yard per carry for Georgia Southern. Ole Miss's run defense is spectacular. Chris Paul was really, really good. He is a violent, and I mean this complimentary, he is a violent football player. I think Ole Miss is really good at linebacker, as we've talked about. It's helped by having a really good defensive line, but you've got really good linebacker play at the moment at Ole Miss, and that showed last night. Only 109 passing yards for Georgia Southern. This is an offense that has put up numbers against teams, and they just simply couldn't do it to Ole Miss. So, look, they gave up their one touchdown. It's a shame that they gave up the one touchdown so far this year in the second quarter of the fourth game. But Lane Kiffin today was really pleased with how his defense performed in this game and how really they've performed to date, especially with some injuries. Obviously, Ivy out, and you know, Pegues went back into the game, of course, but initially everybody thought, you know, that was a collarbone and that was a really ugly thing. And sure enough, he's okay. But this is what they are. I don't think that they played their best and they still dominated a game like this. We'll know more about their health situation on Wednesday when the injury report comes out, and then one comes out every day leading up to the game. So we'll know the answers to that question soon enough. So I don't think Kiffin was pressed today on it, because what's the point? Because he has to give an official word this week anyway. But this is what they're supposed to do. This is a team that, you know, everybody, we talked all offseason about, they internally think that they're a championship football team. They have not played anybody, quote unquote, to this point, which is true, but they have completely taken care of business like a championship caliber team is supposed to, and that is noteworthy. That means something, because not everybody has done that to this point. Look, as we've talked about, Notre Dame, Penn State with Bowling Green, Oregon, first 2 weeks of the season, Oregon should have lost, could have lost anyway, is probably a better way to put that. It's not always looked like this. I mean, hell, even Ohio State, they ended up beating the crap out of them, but like Marshall had a lead against Ohio State. And Ole Miss has just been completely and totally dominant in ways that they are supposed to, but that is noteworthy. This is a team that thinks they can win a championship, and to this point, they have looked like that. But, you know, I think this is all we really need to say about Georgia Southern, or really any game that we have seen to this point. It gets real now. Now the season truly begins for Ole Miss, and it starts with Kentucky and Oxford. I think the crowd's going to be nuts. And Ole Miss has a lot more firepower than the Wildcats, but they present a unique challenge to Ole Miss to this point, and it's because they have SEC players on their team. So now it gets real. Now we've got a lot of previewing and talking about Kentucky and, you know, what things look like around the SEC. Ole Miss has done exactly what they were supposed to do. They have gone through non-conference play in dominating fashion, and it's go time. For Lane Kiffin and this team. So we'll recap the weekend in the comments with you guys after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with local loan servicing and decision making. So if you need a loan or you have a loan with them and you need it serviced for any reason, they have got you covered in person because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. You don't have to hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state in order to get or secure a loan because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, to the comments we go. Glad you guys are here. Let's talk some more football. Why not? Finally, the Ole Miss preseason is over. Good to see you yesterday. It was great to see you too, man. It was great to see you too. Hope you and your little man had a great time. We had an absolute blast yesterday. So one, like, we went to the Grove, and the Grove is still very, it's there. There's more people and it's a little bit more compact, but it still has that flair that, you know, makes it one of those unique college football destinations. So he liked that. Waiting on university to and the band going by, that was really cool because we were right there, and obviously you saw it because you're in the band and we talked to you there. But, man, so all of that was awesome. The game day ops people – and I don't know who it is. I don't know if somebody left and somebody got to take over or they hired somebody new, because it hasn't always been like this for Ole Miss football. And in fact, it's been quite the opposite. Whoever's in charge of game day ops at Ole Miss is doing an incredible job. And I am not using that word hyperbolically. Four-year-olds cannot sit for 4 hours and watch just football. They can't do it. So you can try to just entertain them with snacks. I don't bring his iPad with him to stuff like that because I want him to, you know, see, as opposed to being locked into Blippi or whatever that I could have just handed him his iPad for. I want him to experience. But the thing is, if it's just football, then we wouldn't have lasted, quite frankly. We just would not have. And whoever's in charge of it made the whole from 30 minutes to before kickoff when we settled into our seats until the thing that they do in between the third and fourth quarter, the music was almost too loud, but I'd rather say that than the alternative, right? So you had music and lights and just stuff going on and all of these ridiculously, insanely long commercial breaks. Felt long, but not the way it used to at Ole Miss. A four-year-old was entertained throughout the course of the game because of all the other stuff that they – it's a true, like, party environment. And that's – the crowd was big, but it's Georgia Southern. And everybody in the stadium knew what was going on, right? They knew the score. So it wasn't like this crazy, wild atmosphere. And even still, I mean, little things just like fireworks after touchdowns. And you think that's just – you know, something as a fan, you look at, okay, yeah, they're celebrating a touchdown. But for my four-year-old, every time like a big play happened, he'd look up and like he would anticipate the fireworks. And that little bit of magic, the thing with the phone lights, I mean, what, three songs they had where everybody held their phone lights out stuff like that all game long. That is not how it used to be at Ole Miss. Those games, even the good games, used to be boring as hell. And that was not the case at all. So whoever's involved in that, if you listen to this, good on you, because that is not an easy job. It is hard to keep people entertained with 4 minute long commercial breaks and 20 minute long half times, and 18 minutes of football was played in an hour and 15 real life minutes. That game was a slog. And even despite the slog, I had a four-year-old that was entertained, and I didn't have to do anything extra to get there. So whoever's involved in that, awesome. And I mean that truly. I'm not just saying that because you guys are all Ole Miss fans. You guys know me. Baseball season happened last year. I am very willing to be highly critical to the point where it bothers people about Ole Miss. Not this case. Obviously not the football program at the moment. But whoever's involved in that, the party in the SIP thing, is an absolute home run. It truly is. Awesome. It's really awesome. And it was great to see you, Edward, and a lot of you guys. I mean, we were constantly running into people, either from here or from the radio show, and that was really cool. So, yes, we had an awesome, absolutely awesome time. We really did. So. Saints with a bummer today, no freaking doubt. But, man, it's the NFL. You know, that just happens sometimes. Defense played great. They had opportunities, couldn't capitalize on them. You know, two injuries on the offensive line against that Eagles front. No Taysom, that hurt a lot today. Carr made a really bad decision when they were trying to do the hurry up to get into field goal range to tie it. Really bad decision from Carr there. You just can't do that. But also, you can't get on third and 16 when you have a lead. You can't leave a tight end uncovered, regardless if it's crossing route, to get down into your goal line anyway. So, you know, just all bad. But still, I still really like this team. I do. I think that they're making the playoffs. And I know the Falcons are actually playing the Chiefs tough right now, aren't they? Yeah, still tied at 7. But I still like this team, and I still like Clint Kubiak and where this is going. Another ho-hum night for Ole Miss. Defense played really well. It's just the penalties, man. They're constant. Trey Harris is just unfair. Yeah, and, you know, there was a lot of crap penalties, too. Look, and let me see if I can find it here quickly, the penalty yardage. Again, with all things, it's not all officiating, so penalties. Ole Miss had 11 penalties for 135 yards. Some of that was because Ole Miss had 11 penalties for 135 yards. There was also some garbage in there. Chris Paul Jr.'s roughing the passer was a joke. He affected the throw. Like, he affected the throw, and the quarterback's falling away. What do you want him to do? Just not tackle the guy? I mean, what do you want him to do? He was playing football. Trey Harris's OPI was bad. There was a bad pass interference. I forget who it was called on. Was it Amos, maybe? Or maybe Saunders? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I wish I did. That was another bad call as well. I mean, like brutally bad. But, yes, secondary, too many penalties again. But some of it was garbage. Is it just you, or is Ole Miss kind of good at running between the first at 1 to 7 yards and a down, then struggle on the short yards? Yes, they struggle with short yardage at the moment. They do. They do. The Derek Carr experience, no kidding. Bo Wallace thoughts, please. So I saw that, like everybody. It's getting picked up everywhere. Kudos to Neil and Chase for getting that done, because I cannot imagine how many people have listened to that to this point. So doing that and getting him in is just, you know, it was a stroke of genius is what it was. None of it should surprise anybody. Like, none of that is new. And what I mean by none of it is new is not that Bo didn't tell stories that nobody knows. That's not what I mean. I mean, that being Hugh Freeze is not new. And that is why I had the tweets that I did yesterday, and turns out a lot of you guys like those, I guess. They were some of my popular ones. I had a really, really dumb tweet yesterday. We're not going to talk about that. but I also had a couple of good ones centered around that very thing, because everything that Bo Wallace said should not surprise a single person. And Hugh Freeze's quote after the game, yet again throwing his players completely under the bus, should not surprise anybody. In the same way, him saying that there was only one bad play call in the Cal game should not surprise anybody, because this is who Auburn hired. And anybody that covered Ole Miss or was familiar with college football, like truly familiar with college football, watched what happened unfold at Ole Miss and told people and said, like we said right here and on the radio show at the time, he might win games early. And in fact, that's not even happening. So they've gone from like not even the year one to year five Ole Miss experience. They've just jumped straight ahead to the BS and the losses. Like they didn't even get to have the buildup and the fun and the access bowl. It's just they're recruiting well, but on the field they stink. And then now this is happening. Like they've jumped the good, but we talked about it. This was inevitable. This was going to happen. Threw his offensive coordinator under the bus every single week last year, and now he's throwing his players under the bus because this is what he does. This is who Hugh Freeze is, and this is what Auburn hired. And how anybody thought that that person, watching what happened at Ole Miss and the way it happened, forget what was on the phone records. I'm not even talking about that, because if that never existed, losses were still coming in a big, big way. Like they were still going to lose and he was going to lose his job because they weren't winning football games anymore. Like everybody says all the time, and they're exactly right, there is such a shame that he didn't have to coach that 2017 team. It's such a shame, because that would have stopped it. It would have just ended any debate about him and his time at Ole Miss. Like because when Liberty came to Oxford, we had Ole Miss fan listeners on the radio show telling us that they would take Hugh Freeze back as their coach. Like those people wouldn't exist if Matt Luke didn't have to take over in the summer as interim. They would have lost a lot of games. They would have continued to lose and it would have been over. But people thought that that could, what you saw happen at Ole Miss and how it happened, could go to Auburn, a place with more pressure and unrealistic expectations, would work differently. They thought it would go well, and it's not going well, and it's not going to go well. And I saw some people say, like, well, it's true, though. Like, you know, he's not lying. Like, his players suck. Whose fault is that, especially in the portal era? When you watched Peyton Thorne play all season last season, and the transfer portal exists, and you bragged about how you weren't going to go into the portal and pay for a quarterback, you own this. This is on you. And then to turn around and throw your players under the bus this way, as if you have coached perfectly, is just chef's kiss, hammer, meat, nail. That is who Auburn hired. And now the pressure is on. They're going to be measured by how they stack up against Georgia, and they don't. And they're going to be measured how they stack up against Alabama, and they don't. And they're not going to be able to get a quarterback in the portal, at least a good one, because why would you want to play for that? Just like when they settled on Peyton Thorne, they tried to get other quarterbacks, but nobody wanted to play for him. And then they settled on Peyton Thorne again because nobody wanted to play for him. This is what Auburn settled on. This was a panic, emotional hire because he beat Alabama a decade ago. That is what it was. They thought they had Kiffin. Kiffin ultimately told them no, and so they panic hired the guy that had gone it. He beat Nick Saban, and this is what they have. Anybody that watched closely what happened at Ole Miss would have told you that this was coming. I didn't think it was coming this fast. I thought that there was going to be highs first before the lows, but it's just staying low. But anybody that saw it happen knew that it was going to happen. Everybody. There were a lot of losers this weekend, and where else does it start but on the plane? Such a fun time over there. I mean, offensively inept. I think my Jimbo Fisher take from a couple of weeks ago is just spot on. After they lost to Cal, he's a poor man's Jimbo Fisher. And hearing Bo talk about that, like I say sometimes, it's always good to have an opinion and have that opinion validated by somebody else. That happens sometimes. You should be confident in what you say. But hearing Bo say the same thing, I was like, okay, this guy actually knows football. I'm just some joker. He knows ball and I don't. And he's saying the same thing, so good on me. But yeah. What are the most common misspells I get? L. People put L in my name. Borkley. All the time. That's the most common one. Gordon, it was great to meet you. Man, thank you. Thank you for saying something, man. We had a great time. We had a great time. Serious question. Are Hugh Freeze and Brent Venables still employed in December of 2025? Neither. I would bet on neither before I would bet on one of them still has their job. Say it is a minus 38 or a plus 38 point underdog is what you're trying to say there, my friend. Hammer that even if Arch starts. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could start. And now Blake Shapen's out for the year, which you hate it for Shapen. But they were 1-3 with him. And so now you've got this young quarterback that's going to go have to go play in Austin. And it's only just going to get uglier from here for Mississippi State. They are worse than I could have imagined that they would be. I knew because we talked about it all offseason, people were kind of overhyping because that's what people do in the offseason. But you guys know this. We talked about defensive personnel and how they don't have it, and I just don't understand why people think that they're going to be competitive on that side of the ball. I did not think it would be team-wide. It's going to take Jeff Lebby's got his work cut out for him to keep just the team playing for him. For the rest of the season, not because they're about to start getting beaten down badly. The schedule is they're 1-3, and the easiest part of their schedule is over. The easiest part of the schedule is over, and they're 1-3. It's about to get very bad. I don't think there's any way Freeze gets fired this year. I don't, but 4-8 is possible. Let's see. 4-8 is possible. So, yeah, I mean, look, Oklahoma is winnable because they can't score, but have you seen Oklahoma play defense? They're good on that side of the ball. That could be a very frustrating game to watch, frankly. At Georgia, at Missouri, at Kentucky are their next three games after Oklahoma. Good Lord. Vanderbilt's losable. Vanderbilt should have beaten Missouri this weekend. I feel terrible for those guys. They're losing to Alabama, and Texas A&M's not going to be a pushover, despite they looked like crap this weekend, too. So glad to start SEC play this week and don't even get you started over the polls. You know, I understand that. I had a couple people say to me, like, the polls are a joke and the media is a joke because Tennessee jumped Ole Miss. And I get it, man. They went to Norman and won comfortably. So it'll all take care of itself. All Ole Miss has to do is win games. That's all they have to do. They'll be fine. It'll absolutely take care of itself. You got nothing really left to say about State other than 1-11 is definitely on the table, maybe likely one of the worst non-Vandy SEC teams you've seen in years. And this Vanderbilt team is better than Mississippi State and would beat them if they played. You know why you think the defense will largely be fine? Go look at the intensity on the D-line when it's an obvious pass down in the second half. Yeah, and I like the depth there a whole lot. I like the depth there a lot. And I really don't think that Pete has fired a lot of his bullets, you know? Or I guess I should say arrows on YouTube so I don't get demonetized. I don't think he's shot his arrows, all of his arrows yet. I think they've been pretty vanilla when it comes to pressure and stunts and things like that. But yeah, you can see, I mean, Princely and Nolan's athleticism is so real. It's so very real, but it's all of them. And, you know, Jim Brown looks really good. The freshmen look good. They've got a lot of options there right now. nobody you're seeing is giving any credit. You guess it's fair, but they are covering the spread, dominating everybody, even when they don't play their best. That's how people are going to be, but just ignore it as best you can, because it doesn't matter. They've looked very, very good. I mean, they're still, what, ranked number six? So if idiots online aren't impressed with Ole Miss at this point, well, then let them be idiots online. Dominique Thomas needs to play some more. I do think Jackson Dart's postgame quotes, if you haven't seen them, I would check those out. That tells me that I think we were right about how we're going to start seeing some more of Ulysses Bentley. But, you've had great, and I mean great stuff from Henry Parrish. He and Jones, especially pass blocking, but they've been highly, highly productive. Short yardage is a concern. You're nauseous from listening to people fawning over Tennessee. Hey, but they've earned it. They've been dominant in the games against lesser opponents, and they went to Norman and won comfortably. They've earned the praise that they're receiving right now, for sure. They've earned it. Harold Perkins is out for the season, and Rocket Sanders is hurt for Carolina with Sellers already banged up. Those two road games, Ole Miss needs to win them. They are ripe for the taking, absolutely. I hate it for Harold Perkins. It was his draft year, and was starting to figure it out. It sucks. It really does. That is by far their best weapon on a defense that I think isn't very good at the moment. He is a guy that can dominate a game, and I don't know if they have a guy that can dominate a game besides him on that defense. So that is a massive, massive loss. I'll be honest, I am hearing about Rocket Sanders for the first time. I just did not pay attention to their win over Akron. Let's see. Sunday injury updates on Rocket Sanders, Lenora Sellers. Let's see. Beamer said, I think everybody should be fine for Ole Miss. If we were playing this week, it would be questionable for a handful of those guys. Rocket would be the one that would be the most questionable, if you will, in regards to being able to play a game this week. But everybody else would be fine for a game on Saturday. Okay. So, Beamer, who's been optimistic about that Sellers would return, that was poorly written, after the bye week, was later asked specifically about his quarterback and how he'd be used in practice this week as he returns from an ankle injury. I just saw him downstairs in the indoor, and he was running around, looked good, and was lifting today and is out of the boot. So, he's been in a boot until this weekend. So, yeah, the South Carolina's two best offensive players are still nursing coming back from injuries. So even if they play, that's still, you know, are they 100%? At the moment, Ole Miss needs some luck in regards to opponent strength, but are not getting it. No, they don't. I don't mean to like immediately shoot down what you said. I'm sorry about that. But what I'm saying is they do not need luck. They just need to take care of their own stuff, and everything else will work itself out. Alabama and Georgia play each other this weekend. You know, that'll take care of itself. Everything around them will take care of itself. I think Missouri is not going 11-1. I think they're going to lose in College Station. I think Missouri's got a couple of losses coming. They got really, really lucky this weekend. So it'll take care of itself. Just win the games and they will be fine. They don't have to go undefeated. Just take care of business and they will be fine. Because I do think that this idea that you're going to have 5-11 win SEC teams, I don't think it's happening. I do not. Oklahoma's going to lose a lot of games in the SEC, 119th in total offense, and Jackson Arnold looks completely lost. He might not be at Oklahoma next year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not. That guy looks better anyway. Heupel could have run it up, but Tennessee won without playing great and or using their full arsenal. And did y'all see Tennessee fans? They didn't take over the stadium, but kind of did. You can never understand how an offensive line can be good at pass protection but suck at run blocking. Yeah. Prescorn had a few drops. He did. I'm not worried about him, though. 96 total yards and 3 points for Oklahoma through three quarters. Everyone knows Sellers will come back for the Ole Miss game because that's how things always work out. Yeah, that bye week certainly does not help. But, you know, if it was just an ankle sprain, it's still, though, I mean, not to be callous, but this is just the reality of the sport of football. He is still not the best passer that Ole Miss will see this year. We'll put it that way. And his strength is running. And if he is just now out of a walking boot, how effective will he be in the thing that he will do the best? We'll just have to see. How about that LSU crowd yesterday? You understand it was brutally hot, but they're having serious crowd issues regardless. They absolutely are. They're not selling out big games anymore. But yes, I don't fan shame. I don't fan shame. I understand why people don't want to sit in 100 and whatever heat. I get it. Like, I understand that. What cracks me up is the LSU people, and I'm talking media people, like ESPN did this, and there should never be a game at 2:30 in September in Baton Rouge, as if Baton Rouge is the only hot place in the country. I mean, give me a break. Ole Miss kicked off 2 weeks ago at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not at the end of September. The second week of September, Ole Miss is kicking off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you didn't see Ole Miss people crying to the SEC about, oh, it's not fair that they're ESPN. This is, no, give me a break. Shut up. Everybody, it's hot in the South. Tulane played an 11 o'clock kickoff. I didn't see Tulane people crying to ESPN about it when they played Kansas State. I didn't see anybody at ESPN or at Tulane bitching to ESPN. Forgive my language. I'm sorry, but give me a break. Oh, ESPN, this is all on ESPN. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. LSU had to play a game during the daytime. Oh, it was a hot. Yeah, it's hot in the South. It's hot in the South. Give me a break. If people didn't want to stay in that, I understand. Just cry me. Everybody else has to do this. Yeah, seriously, Ivy didn't play. You didn't notice, but yeah. And the thing is, he's an awesome player, and just they didn't really miss a beat up front without him. Shout out to USC for choking so hard. Yeah, my goodness, what was that? Better team lost, and you needed a USC win for your pick'em. Go figure. It's going to be hard to get a home playoff game with the schedule and brand. Don't worry about that. 10-2 won't leave them in the top 7 where they would need to be. You don't think a Big 12 team is top 8. That's interesting. 11-1 and lose SEC championship game is it. But then you're playing an extra game in that scenario. But we'll see. Perkins come up onto Oxford next year. Frankly, I think that he's still going to the NFL anyway. I think he's still going to the NFL. But I agree with Pat. I mean, their usage of him is been pretty bizarre. Luckily for Ole Miss, Missouri looks like frauds. I agree. Thoughts on the new helmets? I liked them. I do. I know that there have been mixed opinions about it, but I do. I like them. I think that Ole Miss trying new things, especially considering the, you know, the implications with using Realtree pattern on a helmet. I like it. I think that mixing things up is totally fine, and it still looks like Ole Miss at the end of the day. You know, it's still an Ole Miss helmet. There's a little color differential, but it still looks like you, and so it's totally fine. Kansas State lost the trap game of the year at BYU. BYU undefeated. Maybe they win the Big 12. Cam Rising at Utah, wash, rinse, repeat is questionable. It's just that poor guy, man. He's been in college for 7 years, and I don't think he's ever not been questionable. It's the last big-time SEC job he'll ever get. Might be the last just big-time job anywhere. You question how Kentucky's going to move the ball consistently on Ole Miss. This feels like a nightmare matchup, especially on the road. That line opened up at minus 20. This is a terrible matchup for Kentucky. Kentucky's offense against Ole Miss's defense is a terrible matchup. Terrible for them. Their best bet is to try to, you know, make the game go by fast, win on field position, big plays, try to turn Ole Miss over, that kind of stuff. Limit possessions for Ole Miss. That's what Kentucky's going to have to do. This game might go by fast. That's their best bet at winning, is keeping Ole Miss's offense off the field, limiting possessions, trying to exploit a big play or field position or something like that, because I don't think they're scoring either. They can't score on anybody. The fans around you helped you boo the last field goal. Your score prediction was 52-10. So I don't know. I have yet to look at the video to audit the video comments, but we did have an emailer get it exactly right. Got it exactly right. So, yeah. Last week's winner, the hat will be shipped out to you tomorrow. And then, yeah, I'll have to audit Thursday's video to see who it was and then go from there. Not going to lie, the fourth quarter fireworks show would have scared you. Oh, man, well, they kind of prepped you for it. They prepared everybody for it. But that was really cool. As a friend of the show from the Bluegrass State, take it easy on us this weekend. Score for fun, and we're the Iowa of the SEC. Or, no, Ole Miss scores for fun, and we're the Iowa of the SEC. So is that true, by the way, that Kentucky fans – so last time Kentucky came to Ole Miss, traveled really, really well. Like, there were a lot of Kentucky fans there. I think they returned some of their allotment. That's interesting to me. It's like a couple years ago, they were everywhere, and now it's – anyway. Since 2021, they've steadily improved the game day atmosphere and activities. It was at an all-time low the previous 5 years. Absolutely, it was. If this was 2018, I wouldn't have brought him. He'd have been bored out of his mind a quarter into the game. Do I want to do the stream watch along versus Kentucky or whomever? I think if I do it, it's going to be for LSU. Night game, you know, night game and road game. Because, you know, 68,000 of you will be at the Kentucky game. So I don't think that the home games will bring in like a big audience. So. Matt Smith, head of athletics and marketing experience at Ole Miss, is a cool guy and has done a great job. So that's who it is then. Came down from Michigan State in 2021. There's the answer. There it is then. Because that guy is awesome. He's doing a great job. Ball Wallace destroyed Hugh Freeze, barn down bad. Well, you're still seeing some denial about things that he said, and it's like you guys are watching it. The TV timeouts are too long. Yeah, they are. I mean, the NFL is not that long. And that's a multi-billion dollar industry. And the college halftime is a joke. Like, there's enough time for the band to play and cut 8 minutes out of halftime. Like, I don't want the band to be taken away from halftime. That's a non-starter for me, because that's such a big part of what separates college football, right, is that. But there's still so much downtime. You can cut 8 minutes off of halftime and have an NFL halftime and boom. Just right there. Make things like that move faster. The slog that is college football games, major college football games, is unacceptable. But, oh well. Flippy was your best friend when you brought your four-year-old to the game. Oh, man. I don't like new Blippy. Old Blippy's fine. New Blippy makes my skin crawl. Bo going after Freeze has been hilarious. I would love to know, and maybe we'll learn, if anybody over at Auburn has reached out to him or to Neil and Chase yet. I would love to know that answer. Thought Dart got a little greedy with the pick at the end, but he's so sharp with his wide receivers and has thrown for more yards through four games than any other SEC quarterback in 20 years. That is true. That is true. When is the birthday party? He was inviting everybody to his birthday party. Were you one of them? Oh, that was so funny. God, I love that kid so much. I've got him on my shoulders walking from the Grove into the stadium, and we stopped to see the band. And of course, you know, a four-year-old, he had his hat backwards on at the moment. So a four-year-old with his hat backwards, and he's just like this happy-go-lucky, like just happy little boy, and just loves talking to everybody. And so he's waving to members of the band and the dance team, and they're all just, they think he's adorable. And so they're talking to him, and he's inviting every single one of them to his birthday party. He invited everybody around us to his birthday party. It is so, I love that kid. I know you guys don't care, but I just, God, it was just adorable. He had so much fun. How many points does his absence affect the Vegas line for Ole Miss LSU? That's a good question. At least a field goal, I think. At least a field goal. NFC South is loaded this year. Yeah, that scares me, by the way. I don't like that. I wish it sucked. Like, the Falcons are beating the Chiefs at halftime right now. What the heck? We'll see. Live stream for the birthday party. So, yeah, the birthday party will be not live streamed. Pat, you freak. What are you thinking? what are you doing, man? I'm kidding, Pat. I'm just messing with you. The Curtain Rod Collective forking up the bill for all of us to show up. Yeah, if everybody that he invited yesterday to the birthday party showed up, there would be 1,000 people at the there. Fun fact, Nebraska hasn't beaten a ranked team since 2016. Wow. But it's okay because Dylan Raiola is cosplaying Patrick Mahomes. How about Coach Prime? How about Colorado? Look, I am as critical as anybody about them. I can't stand the approach there and how they think that everybody's out to get them when they put themselves out there first. That's fun, though. That's a fun way to win a football game, and good on them. I can't believe that Dave Aranda admitted out loud that their Hail Mary defensive play is called Victory Cigar, and they gave up a touchdown while running the play they call Victory Cigar. Just keep that to yourself. Did he have a blast yesterday? I could not have had more fun. Could not have been a better day. It was truly a perfect day. Could not have been better. The only downside was getting in at 1 a.m., but so what? College football is the best, man. I just love it. Everything about it. Do you see the blindside block call in the State Florida game? What are they seeing? I don't know. Yeah, Florida had a couple of long touchdowns called back. A healthy Logan Diggs would be a great short yardage back. I would love to know why Amos hasn't gotten a shot in those. Something's weird with the running back situation. Saw Cross went after Freeze on Twitter too. Freeze is being torn apart, and rightfully so. Absolutely. And you know, some Auburn people's like, oh, that's taken out of context. No, that's very in context. You can't say things like that in multiple weeks. You can't do that. You're the head coach. You chose those players. You're coaching them. It is on you. It is on you. If they don't perform, it is your fault. If they're not good enough players, it is your fault. That's why they get paid millions of dollars. That's why it's a high-pressure job. It's your fault. Through 4 weeks, give us your playoff teams. Two from the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan. Possibly two from the ACC, Miami and Clemson. Possibly. I need to fill out a bracket and look at it. But if right now, teams that I think can or likely will make the playoff. I think there's only two in the Big Ten. I think Penn State's going to lose enough to get knocked out of there. So Michigan, Ohio State, Clemson, Miami, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama. I think that Alabama's fifth, and they will be to me on the bubble. I think they're losing this weekend. And then one from the Big 12, whoever it is, just one. I don't think they're getting two. And then your G5 team, whoever that may be. Toledo blew that chance. Northern Illinois blew that chance. Now, I'll have to sit down and actually fill out a bracket, though, to give you my picks at the moment. But that's kind of right now who is in position anyway to get there. I would put Ole Miss ahead of Alabama. I know some people don't, but I do. Wish all those Auburn fans that joined the live stream during the Kiffin saga to Auburn saga would hop back on now. Yeah, where have they been? We'd love to know how they're enjoying the freeze effect. Where have they been? Worked with and was personal friends with Zach Stout when he lived in Oxford. You have plenty of free stories that could destroy his career. See, all I know is because, you know, I hear a lot about like Jeffrey Wright, for example, because he was on with the Bo Wallace thing about how he goes to bat for Neil very clearly about how those things went down. I don't know exactly what happened there, but if it's anything like what I know have happened to other people that were working in media at the time, then he is completely justified in how he defends his friend and colleague and coworker and all that. Like, if it's anything like what I know has happened to other people, then it's completely justified. That's where it comes from. Like, people think, well, why is it? It seems so personal, because it became personal for a lot of people. Careers were "quote unquote" threatened. Back to Ole Miss. Am I concerned about the running game? I'm concerned about the short yardage running game. That's where I am concerned. I don't think they're going to struggle to run the football at all against people. I think it's when it's third and one and you need that 1 yard, do you have to turn to your defensive tackle to get it? That's where I'm concerned. And there are two games against Power Four teams. Auburn has 10 turnovers and another on downs with the pat fake punt call. How about that? Don't even think Arkansas is particularly good. Maybe a bowl team. I think that they can get back to a bowl. Petrino's using Green really well, but I think that they are exactly who they thought they were personnel-wise. Michael Bratton nailed it in the preseason with his take about Hugh Freeze, and Josh Pate ripped him on his show for it. Guess who was right? Yeah. Can't imagine LSU can have a decent defense without Harold Perkins. They weren't even good with him. I agree. UCLA is awful, and that was a game into the fourth quarter. I was shocked at that result yesterday. Truly shocked. Borkley? Yes. No, not not Borkley. No, Borkley is what I get a lot. Hugh could have had Pavia. They would have had a good record now. I don't think he could have had Pavia because he went to follow Jerry Kill. But either way, could have had better. Do they start losing some of their class? I think so. I think that the throwing the players under the bus is going to hurt the portal more. Remember when Oklahoma ran Dylan Gabriel out of town because Arnold was the future? How the turntables. What's the expression? Bird in the hand beats two in the bush. They had a bird in the hand. Oklahoma could miss a bowl. I agree they could. But they're going to win this weekend. I think they can certainly beat South Carolina at home. They'll beat Maine at home. But yeah, they certainly could. Oklahoma's minus four at Auburn, fishy line of the week. That's going to be the one. That's my pick already. What happened with Bradley Sowell at State? I do not know the answer to that. I do not know the answer. Do you think the $8 million donated to Mississippi State will make a difference with their performance in the next 2 years? It certainly cannot hurt. So that they don't have, as I understand it, all $8 million is not available for them to use in the transfer portal come November. But they don't, it's not like none of it. Okay. I was about to explain that very poorly. Some of it will be available for them when the portal opens, and some of it won't. That'll have to be for later, is how it was framed to me. It certainly can help because money equals players, right? Money equals players in today's college football. So if they have an influx of cash, that means they should be able to go get players. What I'm afraid of when you ask me about State and to look at it objectively is I think that their roster has so many holes in it that it's going to be a very expensive rebuild. a very expensive one. And don't forget, they've got to hang on to the good players that they have because they're getting tampered with, I promise you, because everybody's tampering with everybody all the time, always. So the good players that they do have are getting tampered with and are going to get enticed to go elsewhere. So if they want to keep them, they're going to cost more. And then to get out of this hole, it's going to cost more. So yes, that money absolutely can help them. 100%. It's a lot of money. It's just a very expensive rebuild. Whatever happened to Chris Peterson? Would he be a good fit at Florida? I think he's done. I think he's just done coaching, right? Am I wrong about that? Let me see. Yeah, he's just done coaching. Got out in 2019. You know, I'm sure you guys really liked what was said about that situation on both pregame shows this weekend. On game day, Nick Saban ripped the Florida job to shreds. But like objectively so. Wasn't like hot take guy. Was like, you know, everybody talks about how it's all Billy's fault and Billy sucks, but their NIL situations, everything you guys already know. Like they're in bad shape. The program's not well run, and it's not just Napier's fault. So if you're just pointing at Billy, you're not actually going to solve any problems because the job is in awful shape. And then you had Bruce Feldman on the Fox show basically say that, you know, everybody in the industry says that Missouri and Ole Miss are in better spots than Florida. So if they're going to fire Billy and they think that they're hiring Eli or Lane, they're probably not. So that's something that Florida brass is considering, that their top candidates are probably like a non-starter for them. Like they won't even get to the negotiating table, let alone be able to hire them. So that probably feels good, right, to hear that. I just cannot believe. I think that we totally jumped the shark, I think. When we're sitting on September 21st and we're on a pregame show in front of millions of people talking about why the Missouri and Ole Miss coach will not replace Billy Napier while Billy Napier still has his job. Like, have we not jumped the shark on that a little bit? He still has his job. His team won. They won. But on the pregame shows, it's, well, you know, it's not going to be Lane Kiffin. It's not going to be Eli Drinkwitz. So Florida's got to go elsewhere for their search that hasn't even technically started yet because he still has his job. Is that really the content that we want before a weekend, before a day of actual football games? Maybe it is. I don't know. If Auburn's looking for a new coach, there's one who runs an exciting offense in Orlando. No kidding. Brett Bielema to Florida. They could do worse. He's doing a really good job right now at Illinois. If Arkansas can play clean, it's not a gimme in Fayetteville. Please watch out for this game, especially after the huge Oklahoma weekend. Luckily for Ole Miss, they get the bye before the Oklahoma weekend to kind of reset. But yeah, absolutely. And Green can run a little bit. Haven't used the tight ends much either. Yeah, and in the passing game, and I think that you're going to see a lot more of that because that's how they exploit defenses. South Alabama at LSU next week could be a little interesting. South Alabama can score. LSU's going to have to line up and really play this game. Like, they're going to have to line up and really focus and play South Alabama. Oklahoma fans cleared out quick in the second half. Welcome to the SEC. No kidding. LSU fans have become soft. See, I don't think it's soft. I think that they're spoiled. I think that because they get night games every game forever, they don't realize that everybody else deals with hot September games where it's 100 degrees. Like, other people deal with that too. Anyway, still don't know if 10-2 gets Ole Miss in. I think it would, but it would be much closer. Nothing's changed about Hugh Freeze. Yeah. Not a thing. You think Florida fans will be changing or chanting for Lane when they play them in the swamp? If so, how much do you think that affects his decision? Not at all. Not at all. They can chant whatever the hell they want. It makes no difference. There is, at this point, no reason to think that that's happening. just there's just none. And until there is, laugh while they do that. But I think what Nick Saban said paired with what Bruce Feldman reported yesterday morning should tell you everything you need to know. It's already been put out there that people in the coaching industry don't even look at Florida highly. Like Missouri and Ole Miss are looked at as, like, those jobs are better. Florida's not getting those guys. They should move on. Like, already that's out there. Kentucky's defense will challenge Ole Miss, but it feels like a 31-10 type game. That will be my score prediction, Edward. 31-10. That will be exactly mine. See, and this is exactly the thing. Tennessee has to play Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. So the losses are going to start coming around the SEC. But also, Tennessee doesn't play Texas. They play Arkansas, Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, State, Georgia, UTEP, Vanderbilt, with Vanderbilt, Georgia, Arkansas being on the road. But I do think losses are coming. Losses are coming for everybody. This is going to start taking care of itself. In 2022, Kentucky was ranked number 7 in the AP. That was a wild game, wasn't it? Will Levis, turnover machine. How about that, Titans? Ooh. Ole Miss Kentucky's being played so much, it's kind of gotten a little bit of a rivalry on the field. I agree. What did I think of the call to overturn the onside kick? Lots of BS calls in the game, and I think that was one of them. I cannot believe they overturned that. I couldn't believe it. New Blippi might be tied in with me. Oh, I can't stand New Blippi. Oh, man. See, I don't like the stripe out, by the way. I don't like it. I think that they should do solid colors only. That's just a dumb opinion that I have, though. I will, Big Red. Thank you. Yeah, man. I tried my best to capture all of that yesterday. It was a great time. If Ole Miss does what we think they should, are they a small favorite in Baton Rouge? If they dominate Kentucky, if they win 31-10 like that, yeah. The Vikings look insane. I told our audience that that's what would happen. I said, yes, your quarterback's hurt. Do not count out Minnesota. I think that they can win the division. And look at them now. Brent, good to see you, man. I love autocorrect. Broken. What's up, my guy? Yeah, I'm a little bit broken, aren't we all? If Luke Altmyer is this good, that shows Dart is almost phenomenal. It's just a good fit for him. That's a really good fit for him. Right now, I think Clemson's going to go 11-1. They look great, don't they? They look great right now. Lose to Miami and be the 10 or 11 seed. Yeah, they're going to try their hardest to get multiple teams from other conferences in the playoff if they can. Whatever Big 12 team that gets in is going to get smoked by whoever they play. I swear. Whoever, it doesn't matter if it's Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Miami, Ole Miss, Tennessee, it doesn't matter, whoever they play. Oh, I forgot about Oregon. They've got to show more. They've got a big game with Ohio State coming up. I think USC's playoff chances ended yesterday. I agree. I don't know why Ole Miss is not using Rashad Amos to this point. Part of me wonders if they think that he just lacks the burst necessary. I don't know. We'll know something about Sowell soon. He's supposed to come back on a podcast in the coming weeks. I guess we'll find out then. You kept thinking about me and my son yesterday? Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that because of a lot of similarities with you and your relationship with yours. I love to hear it, man. Yeah, I've got there's a game program. It's out of the picture. It's right there. But my dad, for our first big-time college football game that we went to, you know, back then there wasn't cell phone pictures. He brought an actual camera, but got the game program and the tickets and put them in a couple pictures of us in a frame to commemorate like the first big football game. Since we don't do hard tickets anymore because society's crumbling, I just have to do the pictures. But yeah, man, this is a perfect day. Anyway, I know you guys don't care, but I know I've said that already too. Long podcast. It'll be fun. Looks like it's going to be another wet week in Mississippi, another tropical system forming up the Gulf heading to Pensacola. Yeah, I saw that. And according to the weather app right now, it shouldn't be still in Oxford on Saturday. Like it should get out during the week, right? Or at least it's going to be east enough to not affect the game. I saw that. So hopefully it stays east and gets out of there because the last thing you want is weather to ruin, you know, this weekend. Cale Cunningham's comments about Auburn had to be devastating to them, thinking he ends up at Ole Miss. If Ole Miss keeps this up, honestly, I got kind of a laugh out of him, frankly. But it would be cute to have him give a review of each game he goes to. I'll sit him down tomorrow morning and see if I can get him to like actually talk about the game. And if it's good, I'll play it for you guys. You think Georgia Southern's coach should be considered for the Florida job? There's a lot of guys that should be considered for the Florida job that won't because they're going to have to make a splash. But you think Gruden would be perfect for it? Saw a couple of Florida fans at the game last night. I have a feeling that they doubled up. Went to Starkville, watched their team win, drove up to Oxford for the game, flew out of Memphis. That would be my guess. I don't think Florida fans went to Oxford to troll. I think they did the two games in one day thing. Great show. See you Tuesday. See you, man. Looking forward to that. Flyover this Saturday? I have no idea. I don't know. I know they've got the C-17s here in Jackson. I can't believe there's not a flyover every weekend because of that. Blippi is bad overall. If you ever meet him, send me bail money. No kidding. Who is Blippi? You don't want to know. You'll find out. If you have kids, you'll find out. The new Real Tree helmets won't look terrible with the pink uniforms. Priestcorn's wife getting everybody out of sorts with that Instagram post or whatever. But anyway, this has been great. We went long, but who cares? I don't care. I'm glad that you guys are here. We'll be back Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. We'll see you then. Get ready for Ole Miss and Kentucky. So appreciate you guys being here. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and do all that good stuff. Rebel Report podcast, wherever you get them. And I will talk to you on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.